Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and the 12 steps. Produced, hosted, and posted by people in recovery who've been given strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show. All right. Hey, welcome to the Most High Show. My name is Christian, and with me today, I have James joining me. Say hey, James.
Hi, everybody.
So you got to put the mic when you talk, have the mic up
right
to
up
your,
to here.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope y'all can hear me
like
now.
Like an ice cream cone.
All right.
And so we've been going through each step of the 12 steps, which is a very popular method to recovery and changing your life. I mean, these 12 steps apply to a lot, and rightfully so. So we've been going through every step, and today we're going through step 7. And what was step 7?
Step 7 is humbly ask God to remove all these defects of character.
Yeah. And now 7 goes really, really close with 6. So we're going to talk a little bit about 6 again, and tie that to 7. But before we do, I'd love for you to share your story, kind of how you got here to this point, so that everyone kind of understands who's talking to them.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is James, and I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, to make a long story short, I've had problems with alcohol. I was an alcoholic from the moment I took a drink, mm-hmm. When I was about 13 years old. I was sort of introduced to the program of AA about 6 years ago by the Roswell Police Department.
Oh, so let me do this. I'll have to do an edit here, but so we try not to say AA so that we're not being promotional.
Okay.
Right. So we try to, you know, the program or the steps, if you can, I know it's natural.
Sure.
So yeah.
Well, I came to recovery about 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and started working the steps really thoroughly about 4 years ago. I have a sponsor, I have sponsees,
mm-hmm.
and all of us together are at some different stage of the 12 steps.
Yeah, yeah.
So in fact, with one sponsee, we just finished the 12th step.
Mm-hmm.
And he's it's perfect timing because he's coming up to his 1 year.
Nice.
I have one sponsee who is coming up on step 5 because we've been in step 4 for quite a while. I don't know if you can relate to that.
Yes, I can.
Remember my first time around, it was quite an undertaking. And I have and I try to work the steps as often as I can, mm-hmm. into my daily life, but the obsession from alcohol through this process, the very deep obsession with alcohol that I had for years, mm-hmm. and years was, mm-hmm. lifted just by putting one foot in front of the other,
yeah.
and working these steps as best that I could and asking for direction, asking for help,
mm-hmm.
and being as honest as I possibly could. Yeah. I come from a long line of alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
It's very prominent in my family. I was born with this. and I'm really grateful today that I have a way to live with my alcoholism without being active in my alcoholism. And I'm very grateful for that today because I was on, before I was introduced to the 12 steps and to recovery, I was on a one-way path, mm-hmm. to annihilation.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful I got taken off of that path, put on a new path, mm-hmm. where I can become whole and useful to other people, who need it.
Yeah.
And I can live my life with a degree of honesty and integrity that I didn't know before, that I didn't even know I had in me. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell. I love recovery.
Yeah.
I love the people that that I have met in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always looking for opportunities to talk about that.
Yeah.
As much as I can. So thank you very much. You know, I'd like to think that I have a little bit of experience.
Yeah.
I know that God has given me some strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I know now that this door to hope has been opened for me.
Yeah.
And I walked through it with help of other people.
Yeah.
And I just want to make myself available to show other people how they can walk through that door of hope. Because for the longest time, that word, that notion, that idea of hope did not even exist in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was barely existing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I've got a little bit of experience under my belt to be able to share with people. So thank you very much. I'm really, really glad, really humbled to be here today.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, there are a couple of things that you said that that being whole, I think, is huge. And I do think that these 12 steps are a very proven method to wholeness. Right. And, I think there's a lot of other means that will try to get you there. Right. Be it even some that are functional, right. Religion would be one, or,
sure.
Family, or, all these different structures that we put up. But I think the 12 steps are, I think somebody said once, we should teach these in high school, right? I mean, we'd save a lot of people a lot of drama to learn how to cope with your emotions, to learn how to understand your thinking and how to address it without it taking over, right?
Because it truly is, it truly is a way of life. It's a method to living.
Yeah, right.
And the principles that go along with these 12 steps can be applied to almost everything that we have going on on a daily basis. And I hope to be able to just sort of get deeper, as deep as I can and as strong as I can with these 12 steps. And just, I want to gain as much knowledge as I can,
because
the more knowledge I have, the more that I can apply to situations that crop up.
Yeah.
In my life.
Well, and the other thing you mentioned is the service part. You have sponsees, you have people who are coming to you regularly, and you're helping them because you're a step or two ahead, right? And so that community, that sharing of ideas and the support emotionally and mentally that you get is huge. It's a great example of what a real community looks like, right?
Absolutely. I've been a part, through my childhood, adolescence, early adulthood, been a part of a lot of different groups, a lot of different associations, a lot of different crews, a lot of different, little party groups but there's been nothing I've experienced on the level that I experienced from people that are in recovery.
Right.
Because you have a group of people who are doing their best to really try to be honest and be better people.
Right.
And learn from each other.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as they can. And so it is far and above any other sort of group or any sort of connection that I've been a part of.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And so, the steps work, they're in order, and you do them one at a time.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about one before we get into the humbly, ask, God to remove these character defects or defects of character. Step six, which we covered last week, but I really love this phasing of it, which is you acknowledge the character defects, and then you become ready to hand them over to your higher power. And then the next step is now you do, right? So tell me your experience in going through six and then getting into seven, and what was that like for you to truly humbly ask God to remove your character defects.
Sure. Well, I think the key word that jumps out for me there in step six in particular is that word acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Before I got into these steps, before I started learning about myself, before I had any idea of what a character defect was,
right? Yeah.
You know, I had no method of looking at myself and acknowledging my shortcomings,
right?
Acknowledging my defects. Mm-hmm. So what these step and the way, and you know, the way they are laid out allows us to make that acknowledgement, which mm-hmm. is just something I didn't even have before.
Right.
I had no means by which to examine myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that I thought I knew about myself was all up in here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the worst place for it to be.
Yeah.
And plus it was very, very clouded
mm-hmm.
with lots of drugs
mm-hmm.
and lots of alcohol.
Right.
So my perception was just way off to begin with. So this step six allowed me to sort everything out and acknowledge and make a true, honest acknowledgement of what my defects of character are.
Right.
And they were plenty, you know, just
right.
And it went on and on. And the more honest I got, the more these defects.
Yeah.
Would crop up and the more I was able to acknowledge them without being repelled by them and just look at them in an honest way. Like this is actually who I am.
Yeah.
Whether I like it or not. And it all goes back to just the whole notion of alcoholism. I'm an alcoholic whether I like it or not.
Yeah, right.
And I have these character defects whether mm-hmm. I like it or not. So it's what am I going to do with these defects now that I've made that acknowledgement?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with them?
Right.
And that's how we transition, at least for me.
Yeah.
That's how I was able to transition into step seven.
Yeah.
Where I was able to ask God, here's what I've discovered are my character defects.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the whole gamut because mm-hmm. there's a pile. And humbly asked him one by one to remove those.
Yeah.
Character defects, but I couldn't make that step unless I was able to acknowledge and have a definition for them to begin with.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was just like, I knew there was something there. I knew there was something that I just could not put my finger on.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was always off about me.
Yeah.
And so step six, even step five and step six allowed me to sort everything out and put everything in its place and look at everything in an honest way without being wildly uncomfortable.
Without being self-condemning.
Correct.
Right?
And talking to my sponsor about that because, you know, I've come to find out the more I talk to people about my character defects that I thought were so wildly unique, the more I've come to find out that they are, most of them are very common.
Right.
And I'm so grateful for that. And that's just one of the biggest parts of gratitude that I have with these 12 steps and with recovery are meeting people that I share those character defects with.
Right.
And I get to learn how they acknowledge them, how they faced them, how they walked through them, how they put them behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they crop up today, because they still pop up like that, you know, I have a method. I go to my higher power and say, I want to do this differently now.
Yeah.
Because it could be the same situation, but I'm able to do things differently because I've acknowledged that particular character defect.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, and so like character defect can be a couple different things. Like it can be like a false belief, right? Like it's a belief that if I have to be in control of everything in order to feel safe, right? Or the uniqueness. I'm unique. No one knows how I feel. And those false beliefs then kind of lead to these behaviors and emotions. which I think that's where I think when you say character defect, it's that whole process just turning in your head and our heads in my head. And the other thing I think is really interesting is that statement that there was something different, you know, that, you know, we hear that all the time, and it's so nice to hear it, because then you realize, okay, there really wasn't anything different, but everyone felt like something. I'm not like everyone. I don't fit in. And so the substance is, you know, we did a podcast a while ago, and I've kind of been interested in this topic of the social aspects of addiction, right? And how the use of alcohol and drugs in our culture does bond people together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people, and ultimately what people are looking for is, let me be a part of a tribe or something. We're tribalistic as humans, right? Let me be a part of something. And here's the quickest means to something that we're all going to feel. We're all feeling the same way. But the difference is today, the end of the night, you go to bed without horrible regrets, and you wake up in the morning without a hangover.
Yeah, and you wake up feeling better about yourself, hopefully, than you did the day before, because the tribe now that I try to be a part of is a tribe that where we build each other up,
right,
as opposed to, you know, help each other destroy ourselves.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me, it was. I was just, you know, on that path of destruction, and I wanted to take down as many people as I possibly could with me, because misery
loves company. Yeah.
And I just love having more of that around me.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad to say that my recovery loves company.
Yeah.
Today, a lot more than my misery used to.
Yeah.
And so I try to do everything, you know, just try to surround myself with people who are looking out for other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like I can remember in my addiction, you know, being out in the streets and using with some people and going, oh man, I really got to quit this stuff, you know? And well, that just didn't go nowhere. I was admitting there was a problem, but I was in a room full of everybody else. It was just as dysfunctional as I was at that moment. And so now you take that same statement and I bring it into a room of people who are trying to be whole, be better, be more connected with each other. And now that statement has power, and now I can actually do something about it, right? Yeah. So let's talk about step seven, let's talk about the humbly first.
Yes.
So I think there's a false, when we say humble, I think there's a falsehood that says, well, that's weakness.
Sure. There's certainly a misconception, and I can attest to that misconception, because I had that coming into this. I thought, well, I equated humility with humiliation, and I had to grovel, you know, and I had to lower myself in order to reap any benefits from not just all the steps, but this step in particular.
Yeah.
Simply because, again, I had no concept of humility at all. Because
what's nothing to compare it to.
Because you know, what is the opposite of humility? For me, it was just pride. It was this inflated ego of who I thought I was.
Yeah.
You know, and how I thought I was better. And when I came into this, even though I was broken.
Yeah.
I had nothing going for me.
Mm-hmm.
I still thought I was better.
Yeah.
Than the people sitting next to me.
Right.
And so there was a gradual breakdown of, I had to go through a gradual breakdown of my pride and my ego in order to even grasp what the meaning of humility even is.
Well, and isn't that kind of what the earlier steps are doing too, right?
Absolutely.
They're helping you kind of see yourself for who you kind of really are.
Your true self. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's I was telling you about that, this author I really like, Richard Rohr, and he uses the true self, false self. And I just really love that, those words, because there is this true self that's not so quickly offended, not so ready to attack. There's this, you know, this humble, willing to serve kind of part of us, who we are, you know, who we truly are, you know. And then we kind of build up all this stuff. I just, how I imagine it. We build up all this stuff around that person, being, whatever it is. And we go, okay, now that's us. But the reality is no, it's the thing inside. It's like those Russian little dolls, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I think of it. It's like we think that this big doll is us. And it's like, no, actually, you're right here. This is really you. You've just put all this stuff around you.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, so you get to this point of humility. Now, I always love the practical, right? Tell me, give it to God, right? And it's like anyone who's in a really bad situation, that's the last thing you want to say to them, because they're like, what? Give it to God. I'm going through hell right now.
Right.
So what's that like for you? What was that like? Because I'm sure that this is not, like you said, you practice these daily. So every day, I mean, me too, I have to go, whoa, let me hand this over. So what's that like for you practically on a practical basis? And what was it like for you the first time?
Well, it took a lot of trial and error.
Okay.
For me. And if we're talking just in practical terms, it is finding that point at the very beginning of every day, mm-hmm. where I can honestly admit that I am an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and my life is unmanageable. So this all goes back to step one.
Right.
You know, and step one prepares us for this step that we're sitting on right now, yeah. step seven, because mm-hmm. it says, if you cannot truly admit that you are an alcoholic, that you have lost control
yeah.
of your own life, then you're not even going to go
right.
to step two and three and so on right. and so forth.
Yeah.
So for me, in a practical manner, is I have to admit to myself every day, yeah. again, whether I like it or not, that I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do about it today?
Right.
And that's where I ask God to help me get out of myself mm-hmm. as often as I can throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Because to be perfectly honest with you, any given day, I'm in and out of self mm-hmm. multiple times.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and so I ask God, humbly ask God, to give me that awareness when I'm reverting back to self.
Yeah.
To try to turn whatever situation is, my life, over to God. Mm-hmm. So in practical terms, I just try to stay aware of whether I am instituting my self-will
right.
throughout the day.
Yeah.
But it begins with, as soon as my feet hit the ground, once I sort of, like, you know, I have to have a cup of coffee first. And once I do that, you know, say, okay, today I'm an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
My life is unmanageable, you yeah. know, and I look to my higher power mm-hmm. to help me manage my life and to stay sober
yeah.
one more day. Because, you know, for me, I want to be a little further away from alcohol than I was the day before.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I pray every single day. So that's, yeah. So practically, I'm on the phone with people in recovery as often as I can.
Yeah.
I answer the phone. I make the phone calls.
Yeah.
I reach out to my sponsees.
Which is that's reflecting back to you, your own self, right?
Correct.
You're going, I just did this before we got here, and I'm sitting there watching this guy, right? And I went, ooh, I think I experienced that today, you know? And so another thing is that there's a critique of the 12 steps is that calling ourselves addicts, calling ourselves alcoholics, and people kind of say, well, making this negative claim about yourself, right? And I want to address that, because what I want to say is things like this are paradoxical, because it's in your admission daily that you are alcoholic that you actually live the rest of your day not as an alcoholic. Right? Yeah. And so I constantly kind of tell people who give me that critique of the 12 steps, where are you going, everyone's, and it's like, well, number one, it's not just for myself, right? When I say, hey, I'm an alcoholic addict, I'm identifying that to the person who's maybe not even at step one yet. And they can hear, oh, you look like you might have your life together. You're that too, you know? And so there's that. And then the second thing is that paradox? It's to say I am, that is the pathway for me to stop being that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That is exactly the way.
Yeah.
You cannot, unless you wholly admit that you are an alcoholic, you cannot.
Yeah.
You cannot fully recover
from
this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot. There are hundreds of practicalities that I apply to my daily life in order to stay sober, in order to reach out or be able to reach another alcoholic.
Yeah.
And in order to get further from a drink.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're in community. You're on the phone. Are we at time? Where are we at? Okay, good. These things can go on, so we're like.
I can see why.
Yeah, because like we're getting deep about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're making these calls. So number one is community, right?
Correct.
And this kind of reflection back to yourself, and that's making you go, oh yes, I'm handing that over, or I was just praying about that. So that's one. And I'm sure the first time you're doing that, right? So let's just pick a character defect that's very popular, which would be like, I have to perform to be accepted, right? I have to be doing the best. I have to be the best in order to feel good about myself, right? And other people have to know I'm the best.
There it is.
Yeah. and so what's that like? I'll tell you like what it was for me. So in rehab, 33 years old, and they told me about this performance false belief, this performance trap. And at 33 years old, it was the first time I'd ever heard that. It was so ingrained in my thinking, in my being, that of course, if I do good, then I am good, right? And then I remember very distinctively, and this is not to put my dad on blast, but I was out on like a little pass getting tacos, and I'm on the phone with my dad, and I talk about this performance trap, and he's like, well, you are what you do, and I thought, wow, okay, so here's the, and my dad wouldn't mind saying he's alcoholic too, right, and he's went through these steps as well, but it was like noticing that, oh, this thing is ingrained in me. And at 33 years old to finally see it, now when it starts popping up, I could give it away and to God. And what happened was I came out of rehab and I went back to the work, back to the job. And what happened was the job wasn't number one anymore. It was down like three or four. God and family and my recovery and the recovery community took precedence over making the money. And so they were kind of like, hey, we sent you to rehab and we thought we were going to get a better version of you. But now I'm like, I don't have to prove myself anymore, because I'm actually kind of, dare I say, happy with who I am, right? So that was for me. That was how I kind of gave it. I saw it, I recognized it, and then I gave it away, and then I actually put it into practice every day.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's terrific. And I would assume you're no longer seeking that empty validation.
I still struggle with it.
So do I.
It pops up.
It totally, totally
it pops up all,
but it's not as prominent, I would assume.
So I'll give an example just to kind of like have comparison. So I did something, I created something. I do creative work, so I did something. I thought, man, this is bitching, and I sent it to the client, and I was expecting, oh man, this is awesome, and I got notes back, and I thought, oh man, I thought I was gonna get some praises, and then I just was like, all right. And then I moved on. I didn't ponder on it. I didn't pace the room. I just kind of was like, okay, cool. Let's move on. I knew it was cool, so I'm cool with that. Yeah. That's huge. So I still deal with it. But now I have the ability to go, oh, look at that. That's a dysfunctional thought.
I would assume it's because you are putting step seven into use in your everyday life,
yeah.
Because that outside validation that we were craving, just that mm-hmm. pat on the back, mm-hmm. that, you know, look at me, please somebody praise me.
Yeah.
That for me, that was a very prominent character defect mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. And just like you, it's something I struggled with forever. And so that is a prime example right there,
yeah.
of how we institute step seven into our recovery, how we implement step seven just into our everyday lives, whether yeah. it's professionally
mm-hmm.
or whether it's with our interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
There's so many uses
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful
yeah.
for this step.
Yeah. So let's wrap it up. So if you have anything for the person who's out there, that's still suffering, or they're on the outskirts, they're on the edge, and they're thinking about this way of life, what would you say to that person?
I spent a lot of time, you know, before I knew in the back of my head that I was an alcoholic before it ever came out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time circling the runway.
Yeah.
You know, and sort of dipping my toe. I finally had guidance into recovery through the Roswell Police Department. They sort of showed me the way, I gotta be honest with you. But you know, for me it is a way of life that I am wildly grateful for. And yeah. because of this, it has just opened up a life for me that I did not know existed.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's pulled the wool away from my eyes.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about coming into recovery,
mm-hmm.
you've got a whole community and a whole crew of people that are waiting
yeah.
to welcome you with yeah. open arms that will show you how to put one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want this, you can have it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's free.
It's free.
Yeah. All right, man. Wait, I appreciate you taking your time and talking.
Awesome.
And I'm sure you're going to be back to talk more, because that's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Peace. Thank you, internet, for watching.
Bye, guys.